Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, let's get down to business. And it's been tricky getting down to business of late, all right? Especially when it comes to the outcomes of what we've seen in the U.S. elections. In November, I had some time to be in the U.S. and witness the outcomes of the results. And there was a lot of concern and anxiety around what a Trump 2.0 presidency would look like. We're less than 2 weeks in. And boy, have we been on a ride. But we're going to take a look at the deeper trade relations and diplomatic ties that South Africa specifically has with Donald Trump, and if we should care as South Africans. Peter Todd-Montalto, Managing Director and Global Lead for Capital Markets, Political Economy, and at JET. Kruthman joins us now for more. Peter, always a pleasure to speak to you and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Great to be back.
Always excited to speak to you, Peter. Now, for context, you have been someone who's monitored emerging markets, specifically countries like South Africa, for a very long time. You've seen and witnessed the different presidencies, the influence that they've had on our economy, and of course, how that has also shaped the worldview of South Africa by our international peers. But right now, when we talk about South Africa and how Trump and maybe the rest of the world views us, especially post a government of national unity, what's the perception like?
Well, I think it's really interesting to consider South Africa in a global context of the GNU, the coalition, and the dramas we've seen in recent weeks. Investors have been very relaxed about this. Happens elsewhere all around the world all the time. But the Trump presidency really is something quite different. This type of thing, in living memory at least, has not sort of happened, where the powers that be in the global reserve currency are basically undertaking tariffs, obviously, but more importantly, undertaking policy uncertainty and spreading that into global markets. And that's obviously been directed particularly at South Africa in a way that, again, has not happened since the end of apartheid, in terms of obviously threats of defunding, implicit threats, I say, of tariffs and other sorts of sanctions as well. So we really are in uncharted territory. But I think we need to take account of the fact that we're having a reversion here, not to sort of rules-based foreign policy, but to transactional foreign policy. I don't really think Trump wants South Africa outside the global norm. He doesn't necessarily want tariffs against them. He clearly wants something South Africa from South Africa, and I think that's the interesting thing to consider.
What does he want from South Africa?
So I think he wants a reorientation of foreign policy. He wants South Africa to turn away from the East, from China, from Russia, from Iran. And I think that has actually happened to some degree. This is what's so interesting about the move from Pandor, say, to Lamola and foreign policy in the last even year. There has been somewhat of a reset, but clearly not enough. So I think there's some stuff on that. I think he wants South Africa to do more on terrorist financing and things like that. That has been a concern of the U.S. administration. Even under the Biden administration. But I think overall we need to also consider there are rational parts of this. He, I think, wants to be populist to his base. His base is interested in questions of race in South Africa. That's why the expropriation land reform issue comes up. That issue in and of itself has no, obviously, particular relevance to the U.S. in and of itself. But these are populist calling cards as well. We need to strip that back to some degree, thinking what he wants around underneath. And critical minerals as well, let's not forget that. The U.S. is obviously investing very heavily in critical minerals in Southern Africa, outside South Africa currently, a little bit further north.
This is very interesting. And as you've highlighted, this is a transactional foreign policy. So really trying to maybe even perhaps force our hand to say, hey, stop making friends with the rest of the world. We should be a priority, but we need you to get your house in order because we see something in you in terms of our trade and the transactional relationship we have. Isn't this telling, Peter, because it almost seems as though he sees the potential and the vibrancy of South Africa's economy, if we do, I'm happy to be corrected here, and it seems as though it's a power play to control the diplomatic and financial ties. Is this an adequate way of assessing the circumstance?
Indeed, and in particular, I think if you read a lot of the sort of background think tank, if you like, policy stuff that goes into the administration, it really is obviously about U.S. hegemony. It's particularly about U.S. control of the global financial system. the primacy of the dollar, which, let's not beat around the bush. The Saab and National Treasury have been very blunt, you know, that South Africa is never going to have a BRICS currency. But I think it's all those things coming together. And, of course, just simply a fire hydrant of fake news, of social media, all that kind of stuff layered on top.
I'm keen to hear your thoughts as well on the expropriation bill. Trump was very clear, even using words like South Africa confiscating land in his tweet on Monday. But I'm keen to get your perspective on it's not only being an emotive issue, but how it's being read by international investors who largely do have investments in South Africa.
So people have been remarkably calm. The RAND has been remarkably stable through the expropriation bill issue. Investors, I think you saw this encapsulated actually well in the booster statement today. I think investors know that there are potential issues. There is some vagueness and some uncertainty around the legislation, but not that it's abnormal. And as a result, you know, the expropriation bill can be dealt with through norms and regulations, through court processes and case law. And as a result, I think we need to recognize that investors have come on a long journey on this. I think we've probably talked about it together years ago, where, you know, a headline around Section 25, the start of public consultations on this would have blown up markets at the time when they did blow up the RAND. People now know that a lot has gone on. This is a rules-based system. And we need to remember other things have happened at the same time. The Land Court Bill has been passed. There is a new Land Court structure which really reinforces the rule of law and court-based processes for this. So I think we need to reflect, as you said, this is an emotive issue. It's also an issue that's been massively whipped up by Afroforum, by, let's not beat around the bush again on that, then the DA as well in the past in Parliament as well. And I think this is now, we've got some cooler heads emerging, certainly from the DA in government. You'll see many of their statements on the expropriation bill after the Trump tweets have been much more measured, I think, and much more considered.
I'm so intrigued by this, Peter, because I keep thinking to myself, okay, why is Trump picking on South Africa? Do we have that much of an influence within the global South?
Well, I think South Africa is easy to pick on, right? We've always sort of joked before that South Africa is the smallest part of the BRICS. It's a different case, obviously, going after other countries. He's going, of course, after China with tariffs already. But it's also, I think, one where there's obviously the Musk involvement. There's one where also we've obviously seen Afroforum in the first Trump administration, again, now has deep ties into the administration. Surprising. So yes, on the surface, it looks a bit odd. But I think when you add up all these things, it just about explains why it is. But I think we should also be a bit shocked, right? I mean, the president of the U.S. was on a very windy airport runway at the bottom of a staircase of Air Force One talking on Fox News about this, about South Africa. It was odd, and I think we do need to recognize that.
And I think this raises a very interesting point, because it's also shone a light on many other themes, how we manage our diplomatic ties, how we actively engage within foreign policy, and of course, international trade. And we do know that America is a very important trading partner to South Africa, and as a result, the rest of the continent when it comes to the AGOA agreement, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. What are the consequences of South Africa not managing, quote unquote, this relationship with Donald Trump effectively? In other words, do we need to be particular about the fights we pick?
I think for sure. I was talking about this in Business Day today. I think the ANC madness of their communications, as seen by Gwede Mantashe on Monday, the mining Durban needs to be kept under control. I think also a strong single message from government is important. We've seen that to a degree and to a good degree in how the GNU has communicated as one on this issue. But also it talks to the need to diversify trade and the importance of the Middle East, of the rest of Africa, of actually making AfCFTA work. And it also, I think, really talks to the fact that actually South Africa needs to still be quite intentional about domestic reforms. If we think about the upside in growth from actually sorting out electricity, logistics and crime and corruption, there's far more upside from that, I think, that can more than offset drama and volatility in trade with the U.S.
What's the worst case scenario here, Peter? Should we, I guess, fail to adequately manage this relationship with the U.S.? And does the rest of the market and the world care?
Well, I think it just sort of plays into the grinding underperformance if South Africa can't find a way through this. Let's say there are worst-case tariffs on South Africa and specific sanctions as a result of the expropriation bill. That's not quite our base case, but it could happen. It is our base case that South Africa drops out of AGOA. I think that's pretty bad, particularly for a car sector that's struggling to transition to electric vehicles. But I think also we need to consider in the impact of inflation and the weaker currency that would also happen in this situation. So I don't think it would necessarily be a worst-case scenario of a massive recession in South Africa. I don't think that's what we'd talk about. But it's a reinforcing of the underperformance of the economy that would certainly happen if this the situation is not managed correctly.
So if I understand you correctly, we can pay attention to the headlines regarding Trump, maybe even read his tweets, but no need for us to panic.
Exactly. I think buckle down with the hard work of meaningful diplomatic engagements, engagement with U.S. investors, with the U.S. media, buckle down as well with domestic reforms. And that's, I think, the best way of mitigating these risks.
100%. Peter, such a pleasure speaking to you and getting some perspective on this one. My biggest takeaway is definitely transactional foreign policy. Boy, oh boy, do things make sense once you start following the money. Thank you again, Peter.
Thanks so much.
That's Peter Attard-Montalto, Managing Director and Global Lead for Capital Markets, Political Economy and Jet at Kruthman. He has given us a lot more perspective and color into the shifting dynamics regarding South Africa's relationship with the U.S. And as he's mentioned, it's going to be a bumpy ride, guys. Feels like you're sitting on the back of a 4x4 bucky and you're riding on a gravel road. That's essentially what we need to get used to. Moving over rocks, a bubble here and there, and hopping along as we certainly go. But ultimately, it's in how we manage the international relationship and diplomatic ties, because there could be economic consequences, but not to such an extent that it throws our economy out of the water. Share your thoughts. I know many of you have opinions on this, and it would be great to hear your perspectives on this one. 063-688-0959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.